the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. This week, we sit down with Reed Cordish, a principal with the Cordish Companies, and Rob Norton, the president of Cordish Gaming, to talk about the company's two Pennsylvania properties that opened within a month of each other. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by Vector Solutions, formerly Casino Essentials, the leading e-learning provider of AML compliance training for the gaming industry. For more information, visit CasinoEssentials.com.
To make my mark upon the earth.
He calls me Charlie Mason.
The Cordish Companies hit an exacta early this year when it opened two Pennsylvania casinos, a mini casino outside of Pittsburgh, and a full casino resort in Philadelphia. Rob Norton has led Cordish Gaming since the company opened its fabulously successful casino in Maryland outside of Baltimore, and has taken the lead along with Cordish Companies principal Reed Cordish on the Pennsylvania casinos. They talk about the different markets, the online opportunities in the state, and the future of the company. They sat down with GGB editor Frank Legato during the grand opening of Live Philadelphia earlier this month.
A world away from the coldy tide, sailing.
Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. We are here at Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia, which is the Cordish Company's second of two properties opened in as many months here in Pennsylvania. We have Reed Cordish, who is a principal of Cordish Companies, and we have Rob Norton, who is president of Cordish Global Gaming. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Frank.
Now, as I said, Cordish has opened two casinos in as many months. What does it mean to the company to have facilities in this state's two largest cities?
First, I think the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has a tremendous value to us as a major East Coast operator in the casino space. Being in the two premier cities obviously has its merits, and we have great locations in both cities. So in Pittsburgh, you'll find us on the east side of the city, in a town called Greensburg in the Westmoreland Mall, a fantastic underserved location. And we couldn't be more excited in what I think is probably one of the most impactful locations in all of the East Coast, right here at I-95 76, right in the stadium district of Philadelphia. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us and an introduction to PA.
You couldn't do better than this location. I mean,
no, I think that's right. And what really excited us about it is the opportunity to create something in conjunction with the stadium district that is truly unique anywhere in the United States. This combination of four professional sports teams and a world-class gaming resort facility sets it apart, and we're really excited about it.
Okay. Now, Live Philadelphia was a long time planning. Pittsburgh went up quickly, even in the middle of the pandemic. Had you had your eyes on a Category 4 casino from the outset?
Yeah. Once the Category 4 options became available and the law passed, we immediately started considering the potential locations, and we felt like there were a handful of really great locations, and our location in the Westmoreland market, east side of Pittsburgh, we felt was the best option in the entire state. So we were active, quick, and as you said, even during the pandemic, we went from concept to opening in near record time.
Mm-hmm. And Frank, we felt confident that that even with a Category 4, so a smaller facility, mm-hmm. that with our focus on creating a first-class dining, entertainment, overall experience for our guests, that we could have something very special. Mm-hmm. And when you go there and you see it, and you see the energy and the vitality of that facility, it really exceeds people's expectations. It's mm-hmm. it's great.
Now, normally, there's a lot of differences between operating a Category 2, which this is, and a Category 4. I get the impression with Cordish, it's the same formula, the entertainment formula. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think you're right in as much as that when you put the Live brand onto an operation, whether it's one of our sports entertainment districts, whether it's one of our restaurant concepts, or whether it's one of our casino concepts, you know, you have to go about it with a complete entertainment mindset. It's not just about going and putting in your dollar in a slot machine and spinning. Mm-hmm. You can get that anywhere. What you can't get anywhere is what we bring to the table in the Live experience. And You know, I think whether it's a smaller Category 4, as you described, or whether it's one of these, what I would consider destination resorts like what we have in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. you're going to be treated with unbelievable service, a great warmth that comes from the family company that we are, and an entertainment experience that follows the brand.
Mm-hmm. And a magnificent hotel, too.
Yeah, here in Philadelphia, a fantastic hotel that rivals our hotel in Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Now tell us, from a corporate perspective, looking at the Philadelphia market, how confident you were that they would respond to the Live brand. I guess the success of Xfinity Live played a part in that.
Well, you're right. We've had the privilege of being able to operate in this market for a long period of time. We opened Xfinity Live with our partners Comcast back in 2012. And it's been one of the strongest food and beverage entertainment districts of its kind anywhere in the United States. And that certainly gave us a lot of confidence going into this larger project, the Philly Live Casino and Hotel. This is a market we know well and a market we really like.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you approach gathering names for the databases? Role? I guess the online casino played a big role in that opening before the brick and mortar.
Yeah, so as you know, Frank, from when we spoke, nearly 10 years ago when we opened Maryland Live, we started with a database acquisition program that used our social Play for Free site in advance of a casino opening. And at the time, that was the first time that had ever been done. Well, we upped it a little bit here in that we went to the first time it's ever been done to launch a Play for Money site, a real online casino, in advance of our bricks and mortar outlets. We got about a 5-month head start. And we started to build brand awareness, brand loyalty, and brand experience in the online space, all while giving opportunities for those customers to earn entries into the grand opening celebrations mm-hmm. and all kinds of other prizes as we integrate both the online and the bricks and mortar space. And that was just one of a number of efforts to try to build that database quickly mm-hmm. On the front side.
And they were invited to the preview days, right?
They were invited to the preview days. We got people coming to the grand opening celebrations that are starting here in a day or so, and we had people at our Pittsburgh Live facility at their grand opening from the site.
Mm-hmm. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about the larger marketing plan. Pittsburgh, I imagine, is pretty much a locals market. Philadelphia, I'm thinking, will appeal to a wider audience beyond the normal radius, which is 25 to 50 miles, in addition to the local sports fans.
I think that's right. We're treating the Philadelphia Live Casino as a true destination marketplace. So it's going to have a great energy and expectation for our local customers. But I expect that we'll see people from 200 miles in come here. And one of the great things that we have with the partnerships that we're building with the teams here in the Stadium Entertainment District is that as people come in from out of town, we have a world-class hotel, we've got a world-class casino, we've got incredible restaurants and entertainment, and we have the game. So this is going to be one of the more exciting places you can come see a game anywhere in the country mm-hmm. And have an experience that beats out just your typical tailgating.
You know, we do some things that are very unique, very special. One of our signature concepts of our live districts is our trademark brand, Sports and Social, which we consider to be the premier sports-focused restaurant and entertainment concept in the country. Mm-hmm. It's one of the highest per square foot revenue restaurants in the United States and really just a juggernaut success. In Pittsburgh and here in Philadelphia, we've been able to partner our Sports and Social brand with FanDuel and integrate the FanDuel experience into Sports and Social. And we feel that gives us an incredible point of differentiation versus other experiences. Mm-hmm. It's something that we're going to lean into heavily in our casino properties and other entertainment districts. So we have I guess we can announce this, or we have Sports and Social well under construction now at Maryland Live. Mm-hmm. It'll be right in the heart, right in the center of the casino, 10,000 square feet, spectacular build out and a great entertainment experience. And we view Sports and Social as a tremendous growth vehicle for us around the country.
Mm-hmm. That's a magnificent FanDuel sports book down there, and that goes in addition to the Maryland property has one as well, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what we're building right now.
We're continuing that partnership, integrating FanDuel into our sports and social concept, and we're not going to stop there. We'll continue that growth beyond Maryland as well.
How much cross marketing do you do between the other live properties, between the two, the Maryland and Pennsylvania, between the two in Pennsylvania?
I think we are approaching the live brand holistically. So as we look at the benefits, the rewards, the tier structure, and all the benefits of being a live rewards member, that comes with multi-property benefits. So the casinos are all linked. They're all one database. You earn in one place, you can redeem in another. And we are actually rolling that out here for the first time to have the live rewards be able to redeem complimentaries and get benefits at the Xfinity Live location. And as we continue to expand the casino footprint, the Live Rewards program, I think we'll see that growth go into all the markets.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us how the Maryland Live facility is providing a model for expansion, not only here in Pennsylvania, but future expansion of your brand. Is that's kind of your model there, right?
We're incredibly proud of Maryland Live. It's one of the more successful gaming facilities in the United States, and we think offers a best-in-class experience from the gaming side, food and beverage, hotel, and we recently added a 4,500-person state-of-the-art live music venue as well. So we do think it is a complete, holistic experience, mm-hmm. And one that speaks very well to the live brand, and one that does serve as a model. But we're proud of each district, and obviously with the latest here in Philadelphia, this is a really special experience and property as well.
And with Maryland Casino Smoke Free, you designed the amazing Orchid Gaming and Smoking Patio. In Pennsylvania, it's temporarily smoke free, but do you have a plan to replicate this outdoor patio idea? Should that smoking ban become permanent?
Yeah, we are prepared to create something very similar, if not more special, than Orchid, if and when that's necessary. We'll see what happens with legislation. But we have built a lot of flexibility into our plans here in Pennsylvania so that we can continue to offer under whatever scenario, the best gaming experience out there.
Mm-hmm. And I think, Frank, to your earlier question, I think it was an interesting question about Maryland Live and it being a model. One of the interesting things as you look back at the history of Maryland Live is we opened as a slot-only facility, mm-hmm. from a gaming standpoint. But even with that limited license, we elected, it had our live brand, to take an absolute first-class approach to it from an architecture and design standpoint and from a food and beverage entertainment standpoint. And that, I believe, helped propel the state to go to full game, gave it the confidence that these facilities could be something that would be a regional draw and something very special that they could be proud of. I think the Category 4 example is similar, where some companies have taken sort of I'll call it a limited approach when having a Category 4 license. That's just not the answer that we take. If we're attaching our live brand, we're going to make it first class. And so I think that is something that has served us well throughout our company's history and something we're going to stay true to.
The GGB podcast is sponsored this week by Vector Solutions, formerly Casino Essentials, the leading e-learning provider of AML compliance training for the gaming industry. Find out how your casino can enhance your personnel's performance, ensure compliance, and protect resources. For more information, visit CasinoEssentials.com.
Tell us about your partnership with GAN in the online operations in Maryland and Pennsylvania. Why did you choose that particular platform?
So GAN was the platform that we chose back in 2011 to launch the Play for Free site in advance of Maryland, and they've been our partners ever since. As we expanded into real money online gaming, we did an exhaustive search of platforms, and we felt at that point that GAN gave us the best opportunity to deliver the product, the quality at the speed that we were interested in putting it into market. So we had from the time of engagement to launch was about 3 months, which is extremely fast to get a product up like that. And we continue to refine and build, and they've been good partners with us to continue to refine the product.
Mm-hmm. Modern sports books with all the in-play wagering are kind of moving from what in Vegas was a loss leader to a revenue contributor, a revenue center. How have the sports books contributed to your company revenue-wise in Maryland? I guess Pennsylvania is just starting, but I guess we use Maryland.
I think the first thing I'd say is even before talking about the revenue, is that sports have always been a really important, critical part of how we've approached our live districts, be them gaming districts or non-gaming. And we feel like we've always leaned in and created, through sports and social and our live arena concept, the premier sports viewing facilities and the place that people are coming to on a weekly basis for any big game, for a big experience. These concepts just play this, they're like become the living room of the communities in which they're located. So creating the premier sports venues has always been something that's been really important to us. And we happened to, because of that, to be incredibly well positioned. Mm-hmm. To best take advantage of the new sports gaming legislation.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd add to what Reed said there is that, Maryland hasn't passed the law yet, so we don't have actual sports betting yet, although mm-hmm. we're moving forward with the development. In Pennsylvania, we've been up and running, and our approach is quite different than your traditional kind of stuffy casino, Vegas casino type sports book that you see going up around. In that when we integrated it into sports and social, we believe that the sports betting customer is looking for something more. They're looking for not just great bets and great odds and all the things that you'd expect to get with our FanDuel partnership. They're also looking for an experience, great food, great drink, great camaraderie. The type of thing that you get when you go to, tailgate with your friends or you go to the sporting venue to cheer on your team. And in my mind, there's no reason those two things shouldn't be combined into what I think is the world-class experience that we're delivering here in Philadelphia mm-hmm. and in Westmoreland in the sports and social FanDuel partnership.
Do you think the tax rates are a challenge to that being a revenue center?
Frank, that's a loaded question. Everybody listens to these interviews. So I think with a lower tax rate, I think we could do a lot more to promote the books and we could do a lot more in the way of incentives. But we've never shied away from environments with a higher tax rate. Mm-hmm. We think there's a good model that allows us to be successful. So if given druthers, we'd love to see that tax rate lower, but we're also very aware of what business we signed up for.
Mm-hmm. Now, Cordish had been chosen to develop a casino mixed-use project in Madrid, but that approval was eventually withdrawn. Can you explain what happened there, and are you still interested in the Spanish market?
So probably the best that we could do to cover that right now is that there was a process. We were very involved in it, and through the selection process was not something that we were satisfied with the result, and we thought the Spanish market had real potential, and mm-hmm.
It really is it's a wonderful opportunity in our opinion, especially given our particular background and skill set, which is large scale development, mm-hmm. mixed use projects with gaming incorporated within. Right. And should that opportunity come back, and it's something we would look at again. We think for our particular company, it makes a tremendous amount of sense.
Mm-hmm. Now you've got a lot of irons on the fire here. Cordish is in a partnership with Caesars Entertainment now to develop the land at Pompano Racecourse, which also houses an Isla Capri casino owned by Caesars. Does that project have implications for the Cordish Gaming Group?
Well, it's one of the great development sites out there currently. Mm-hmm. Over 200 acres in the heart of South Florida, Caesars has the existing casino, which is being, which is a very, very nice facility, and it's currently being upgraded and expanded, and will be the center point for which we'll build this larger development around it. We just successfully went through the entitlement process can build something really spectacular. Up to 4,000 residential units, great live entertainment district, mixed-use component. We're very, very excited about that, and we're getting ready to start our first construction there momentarily. So, and it's a wonderful partnership. They're a great company. We feel very fortunate to be partnered with them.
Okay. Now, how closely are you working with the Cordish development team on other projects that may not have a casino element, but could be located in the sports betting state, like the St. Louis Stadium project, for example, where sports betting may be legalized in the near future?
I think one of the things that, you know, how we approach things, Frank, is there, we are one company. You know, the Cordish company allows us to do things that other casino companies can't do, and that they are true developers in everything that we approach. So, you know, from a casino operation standpoint, you know, everything, this project right here, the Maryland project, the Pittsburgh project, is all kind of integrated with the Cordish team, the Cordish development team. And to your point, as we are looking at the other markets, what might come of different markets as sports betting is approved, mm-hmm. We have the ability to do things quickly, to do things at a level that I think our competitors are going to struggle to keep up with. So mm-hmm. I think we look at it as one umbrella, and we can move quickly and do things like this.
Right, the live concept works anywhere.
And we're fortunate we have these wonderful partnerships with great professional sports teams around mm-hmm. the country. Some of the best, you know, franchises, St. Louis Cardinals and Texas Rangers and Atlanta Braves, and just to name a few, and of course here in Philadelphia. And so that gives us an interesting avenue into these markets as they look to expand, and something we're excited about. We're excited about the growth of the live districts. We're excited also about the growth of Sports and Social as mm-hmm. a brand. And we're even taking that outside of some Cordish-owned real estate into selective third-party situations, because it's such a powerful brand and such a great growth opportunity. So we have a lot ahead to keep us busy.
And with all the mergers and acquisitions, Caesars and other companies, is Cordish interested in any casinos that may be considered non-core elements of those merged and combined companies?
We're definitely keeping our eye open for opportunities that make sense for us. And I'm hopeful that we'll see growth opportunities, both greenfield and from acquisition, in the future.
We would love to see, and I mean, speaking for my family, the gaming division of our company grow. Mm-hmm. And whether that's through new construction, new projects, whether it's through sports wagering, or whether it's through acquisition, we think the gaming division has done a wonderful job and should continue to grow as it moves forward.
Well, it has to be amazing for you both just to see how the company has grown just in the past 10 years, since Maryland first was contemplated.
No, it's been incredible, and watching our senior executives and our thousands of team members and the way they've dealt with COVID and opening two brand new facilities with an unbelievable professionalism has been very inspiring mm-hmm. for my family. That's really an incredible thing to see.
Now this year, 2021, I imagine you will be just involved in maximizing these properties here and coming out of the pandemic. Beyond that, do you contemplate more expansion for the Cordish companies?
I think we're going to always look down the road to what potential could be out there for us. So I think there are opportunities for growth, and we will continue to look at that. But you're absolutely right that a large percentage of the focus of the executive group in the Cordish Gaming Group right now is focused on how to get these two wonderful new assets back up to operation, and even focus on turning Maryland Live back on after the pandemic has played havoc with our operation for the last year.
And one way, Frank, that we like to grow, honestly, is by expanding existing properties. Mm-hmm. We think that's a wonderful way to grow. So in our non-gaming properties like Texas Live, Ballpark Village in St. Louis, both have just recently been expanded and are already starting a new phase of expansion. At Maryland Live, I referenced earlier that we took a very obviously successful Maryland Live property, but added this great new concert venue and other attractions, and now added sports and social to it. So we'll grow to new properties, but we'll also continue to grow and expand our existing properties as well.
Well, you have to be excited for sports to come back online with full stadiums. I can't wait to see what happens with this property when people are on game days with full stadiums. That's got to be great.
Can't come soon enough. It'll be an exciting day for sure.
Well, thank you both for taking the time today, and congratulations on this magnificent property, and good luck on everything in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by Vector Solutions, formerly Casino Essentials, the leading e-learning provider of AML compliance training for the gaming industry. For more information, visit CasinoEssentials.com. To learn more about the growth of gaming companies via new facilities or renovations, visit GGBMagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at GGBNews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.